Jimmy a star?
He was a rock star.
Okay, so that's a completely different category.
Completely different category.
Okay.
This guy, Brock, could be a rock star and a superstar, but
I think he already is one.
He might be. He might be.
I mean, when I go to the games, I see a lot of 13
13s.
jerseys
A lot of
already.
13s. Let's go to Lucky in the City. Lucky, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, boss. Hey, good morning, Joe. You guys doing?
What up, Lucky?
Doing great.
All right, man. Well, you know, I love our boy Brock, man, and I'm gonna put the superstar label on him, but I'm gonna give him like a Memphis Fields picky. I'm gonna give him a semi superstar until he wins the big one. But I'm with him.
What is it about him? What is it about him that people love? Lucky. Sorry to cut you off. Keep going, Lucky. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No, I just feel like he's proved himself, man. Ever since he stepped on the field for our team, man. And I know the national media is not really giving him his props right now, or you know, putting him on the level as the other guys. But I feel he's a top five quarterback, man. Right now.
What makes him so relatable?
And I feel once he wins that bowl, that's going to solidify him. And then if he gets another one after that, oh my God.
Yeah, Lucky, what is it about him that it makes him easy to root for? Like, he seems so easy to root for.
He seems humble to me. He seems like a young man that's willing to learn. And if he has a bad game, he doesn't take it literally. He'll take it like, say, you know, okay, you hit your elbow on something and it hurts. But, you know, you shake it off, man, and put some money and you keep going. Because you have to, and that's your job. So I think when it comes to him doing his job, it reminds me so much of Joe Montana. I don't want to put that on him, but it reminds me of Joe because I watched Joe play. I watched Steve Young play. So he has a mix of both. And if he learns from both, oh, my God, man, Brock's going to be the man. Let's go, man.
Let's go, Lucky. Let's go.
I think origin story is a thing that we do in – the movies, right? Or the comic books or video games. And I think about all the origin stories. They're going to do a new Superman, right? For example, and they're going to try to stay away from the origin story part of it and try to go straight to like the middle part of his Supermaning career, right? Think about the Wolverine. They had the origin story at the beginning and, you know, Iron Man, the very first Iron Man, they kind of explain like, how did you become Iron Man or Spider-Man? How did you become Spider-Man? And the origin story is extremely important.
It is.
It shapes who you are. And who doesn't love someone who was overlooked? Who doesn't love someone who is not necessarily have the physique of an NFL body that we like associate with the position? When you meet, like, I haven't met him face to face, but I saw him on a basketball court walking by me. Carson Palmer was larger than life. I was like, there's no way that guy's only 6'5". There's just no way. His head is humongous.
Yeah, it is.
I couldn't get over how big Carson Palmer was. I was like, that man is gigantic, right? And when you see Brock Purdy, and I've had an opportunity to shake hands with Brock Purdy, I stood up to him and I was like, he's not that big. Now his legs are thick and he's strong and all that. I'm not trying to, but he's not that tall. And so his whole physique isn't that demonstrative that you're accustomed to with those guys. And then being an aw shucks guy from the Midwest, even though we know he's from Arizona, like the Iowa State origin and coming out of nowhere, there's a relatability to him. And I know we've done this with like Curry. And I've always pushed back. Like people are like, well, Curry came out of nowhere. I was like, wait, hold up. He was like the sixth or seventh pick in the draft. Yes. Very few times does one of the best players of all time come outside the top three in the NBA. Like, I get that. That's what makes Jokic so special, is a second round pick, right? But like he still was like the sixth or seventh player.
I think what it is with Curry, though, was that he had one scholarship offer, basically. He didn't even get a scholarship offer from his dad's alma mater, Virginia Tech.
Sure.
And so it was like the skinny, scrawny kid. It was like, okay, he's at Davidson. He's shooting threes. How's this going to translate? He becomes the seventh overall pick, but we still didn't know if it was a gimmick or not.
Brock was the last guy taken in a seven-round draft.
Trust me, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to compare and contrast.
No, it is. But
I'm just saying, like, his story is even more remarkable.
I don't think people say, like, we were aware of Curry at Davidson, but to get to Davidson, he fell to Davidson because nobody wanted him.
Oh, for sure.
You know, in basketball, it's like, wow, nobody wanted him? He's at Davidson? How many times do you know, small college guys come out of nowhere in basketball, you know, a small college player that becomes a star in the NBA? But when you think about Brock Purdy, I was talking to Willard about this yesterday after the town hall meeting. I was like, how did he fall to the last pick of the draft? He goes, dude, Iowa State, man. And we started talking about the Iowa game, the one I bet on when I was like, oh, this guy, please. But so that's why when Brock Purdy signed with the 49ers, and everybody started telling us, oh, Brock Purdy might be good. I was like, what? The guy who got bitched in an Iowa game when College Game Day was here and he threw four picks? What's going on here? But the origin of the story, and then replacing Jimmy.
Yes.
When Jimmy was probably playing his best football with the 49ers. And he replaced Jimmy. They win that game against Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins. But then he plays against Brady the next week. His first ever start comes against Tom Brady. And the first play of the game, he gets cracked. Cracked. You're like, oh, this guy ain't going to be able to hold up. Now, that hit messed his ribs up, and he had to play with some messed up ribs the rest of the season, which we all didn't know about. But he leads the Niners on a touchdown drive, and the rest is history. Chad Purdy. They dropped 35 on Brady. They're up 35-7 at the half. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, yes, being the last pick of the draft, that's never lost on me. Like, I don't want to ever forget that. This guy was the last pick of the NFL draft. We've been watching drafts our whole life, Shasky. Mr. Irrelevant doesn't even make it out of training camp.
I mean, how many seventh round picks for the Niners stuck around for 5 years?
It's unreal.
Juwan Jennings is one of the few.
One of the few.
There's not a lot. And so, no, to your point, it's well taken. But, like, I keep coming back to, you know, where he was drafted, where he came, and then just how his demeanor is. The other part that you just can't, like, forget is they traded heaven and earth to get Trey Lance, who was supposed to be the next coming of God.
When they traded heaven and earth, listen to Mike Silver on with the Barstool guys here. Mike Silver met with Shannon. Listen to this story. He's on with the Barstool guys before we get to your boy Q.
There is something at 49er headquarters referred to as the Shanacam, which basically means Mike Shanahan needs to watch meetings and practice ASAP virtually.
That's awesome.
Some people think he's the shadow GM. I spent a bunch of time with him in May and June of 2022. And so in those conversations, I would ask about Trey Lance, of course, and Jimmy, and he kept talking about Brock Purdy, because he'd seen some minicamp tape. And I was like, God, he's kind of weirdly into Brock Purdy, but, you know, whatever. He's the 262nd pick. Now they open against the Bears. It's Trey Lance's first game as the unquestioned starter. The day before, I go to Mike Shanahan's room, and I'm sitting up there, and I'm asking him about Trey Lance, and he again brings up Purdy, and he says, when you have a guy like that in your building, you don't let him out. And I'm like, are we talking about, you know, thinking?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so he's still got it.
That's Mike Silver. I'm parting my take with the Barstool guys. And then we had the Romo cut, which we had last year. I'm going to break, Lovin. I'm going to break. I see the clock. I'm going to break. Let me get this out. But we had Romo on last year before the Philadelphia game. And what did Romo tell us, Shasky? This Mike Shanahan said it early. Hey, you be ready. You be ready. And I was like, what? What? Because in training camp, I didn't hear anything. I'm following you guys left and right in Europe about training camp. Nobody brought this guy up. And Mike Shanahan is sitting there, Shasky, totally gets stumped, saying, this Brock kid, watch him.
Who was the guy from the Eagles that they brought in to be the QB3 and they gave him guaranteed money?
Nate Sudfeld.
Sudfeld. They had Sudfeld getting two or three times the reps that Purdy was getting. Yeah, no one saw it coming.
Nobody saw it coming. All right. Your boy Q is going to join us here. We're going to break. Your boy Q, Raider Nation Radio. He's been really good to us there. 9:20 a.m. in Las Vegas, 2 to 5. Lockdown Raiders podcast. What the hell is going on with the Las Vegas Raiders? Do the Niners have a shot at Devontae?